the recession, and general aviation. How do we move forward? A few minutes with Alan Klappmeyer. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Reading last week's release of General Aviation's third quarter sales numbers from the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, one can't help but be struck by the decline in the sales of GA piston aircraft. Turboprops and business jets were both up, but the piston segment has always been GA's bread and butter. Cirrus Design has built the best-selling piston singles for the past 6 years running, but even Cirrus has had two recent rounds of layoffs as plans for production are scaled back for 2009. ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell got the opportunity to talk with Cirrus Design CEO and Chairman Alan Klappmeyer about what general aviation needs to do to be successful in the future.
All right. We have the good fortune to be speaking to Alan Klappmeyer. Alan has, of course, been leading Cirrus Design for, well, way too long. Wouldn't you think, Alan?
No, I'm having fun.
Yeah, especially lately, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You live in interesting times.
Yeah, the old Chinese curse. It's been an interesting year so far, but we're heading into what appears to be an increasingly negative scenario for an economy. So I'd like to talk a little bit about what the third quarter represents right now, and then more important, where does GA go from here to keep proving its value and keep pushing its agenda among a public that is more and more anti-business, anti-aviation, and anti-just what they don't have.
Yep, great topic, Jim, and certainly the kind of thing that as an industry we need to be talking about. We need to constantly remind people of the value that general aviation brings. But let me start by talking about third quarter, fourth quarter, and some general statements on the economy. We had a fairly decent third quarter, and the numbers look pretty good. The fourth quarter will be unlikely to look as good, particularly compared to last year. We had, in December of 2007, our record deliveries. We are hopeful that with the depreciation benefits that were in the stimulus package passed by Congress earlier this year, that we will see an increase in sales in December. There's certainly some great benefits for customers, and we think they ought to be looking at it. But certainly October was very poor, and November's not going to be great. So as an industry, I think what we will see in January, when fourth quarter numbers are reported, will be a generally down, actually I suppose it will be February when it's reported, will be a generally down quarter, particularly for piston manufacturers. But in terms of the economy, or economic reporting, I should say, I have a little analogy for you, and I've already had one person who I told this to say, no, don't use it, people won't get it. But let me use it anyway. You're driving down the road, you hit a pothole, and in this case, maybe it's a really bad pothole. You come out of the pothole, and if you've got a good shock absorber on your car, the car levels out pretty well. If you got a bad shock absorber, it bounces along for a long time. Now, one question that you might ask sitting in that car while it bounces along is, am I still on a bumpy road? Because you really can't tell, right? The car's bouncing now. What I'm trying to get at with that analogy is that nobody should be surprised, certainly anybody that has actually been alive and paying attention for the last 45 days should be surprised that October sales, not just for aviation, but for everything, was going to be low. Today they announced 2.5%, or I think it was about 2.5% reduction in general retail sales, I think was the metric that was put out. And people thought that that was somehow falling off a cliff, bad news. Well, I don't know, 2.5% decline sounds not too bad to me. But most importantly, it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. So nobody should be surprised when, in the future, when October, November, and probably December results are announced, that they weren't as good as we had hoped from a year ago. Which means when it's announced, it shouldn't be another reason for the economy to underperform. You know, we should be looking forward, not looking behind. Or when we look behind, we shouldn't be surprised about what we should have already known. So having said that, we've got concerns about the fourth quarter. We have some optimistic signs about the fourth quarter as well. But broadly speaking, we all need to be thinking about the economy in general and where it ends up, which leads to where you started. aviation is a fantastic productivity tool. It's also a lot of fun, and I love flying airplanes. But we've got to do a better job as an industry working together to help educate the general news media so that they can help educate the general population about the benefits that aviation brings to everyone. And the way I'll often say this is that we need to remember that the business jet that flies into the airport is not just good for the guy in the airplane. It's good for the company that has that airplane. It's good for the employees of that company. It's good for the other companies that those employees buy things from, and good for the people who work at those other companies. You obviously understand the ripple effect. And so the person who's mowing their lawn 2 miles away from an airport, when they see the business jet fly over, they shouldn't think, wow, you know, who's wasting all that money? They should think, aren't we lucky that they're helping keep the economy going?
Well, I'll tell you,
business aviation is a necessary part of a productive economy.
Absolutely. And the part that drives me nuts about all this right now, yeah, I see what's happening to the economy as well. I particularly see what's happening in reality versus what's being reported. But I've got a business now that affects the livelihoods of about 30 people overall, in some cases all, and in some cases a good part of. And I'm trying to expand this next year. I'm looking at adding 10 to 12 full-time jobs in 2009 and hopefully more if I keep going the way I'm going. I don't think I can do that. I really don't believe I can do that without a tool that this company desperately needs, and that is a decent IFR, technologically advanced airplane to be able to go out and be competitive, to get to the places I need to be, not get screwed by the airlines, repeat, not get screwed by the airlines, repeat, not get screwed by TSA and the airlines, to get to places to be competitive when everybody else is drawing in their horns. Man, I want to go out and I want to do business. And to me, that is the most natural thing in the world.
Yep.
I need that tool.
But we need to do a better job of educating people, because we think in terms of, we understand that airplanes save time. Most people don't see it that way. We need to restart that communication and think in terms of productivity. Think in terms of time as the only truly scarce resource. And the way I normally put this is, you got X number of years and then you die. You know, time is the most scarce resource that any of us have. Airplanes are time machines. How do you get more out of life? Buy an airplane. And, of course, what we've just talked about is how it affects your business, how it affects other people's business. But it really, of course, is more broad than that. I was speaking with someone recently who was telling me about getting to see their grandson, who lived several states away, and how truly important it was to be able to keep that bond with the grandson. And, of course, I'm sitting there thinking, you need an airplane. A couple years from now, your grandson's going to be several years older. You're going to miss it. And pictures online, Facebook, whatever, you know, might be one form of communication, but it's not like giving your grandson a hug. Get an airplane. So whether it's business, whether it's family, whether it's recreation, you know, these are really great tools and part of the productive capability of the country, of the world, and we need to spread that message.
But there's a problem with that, though, Alan. With few exceptions, and I'll count you as one of them, aviation has been a really poor marketer of its value outside of the choir.
Well, we're not nearly as good as I think we need to be either, and we're working on that.
Yeah, but you're far better than the average, and you know that.
Well, we all need to do that. We all need to think about it. I love old airplanes. To me, there's not a whole lot that's more fun than flying a tail dragger off a little grass runway. But I actually think that that's a message that people, that's an acquired taste. That's something that we can get people to love. As an industry, we tend to think that if you don't like it the way it was, you haven't earned your stripes yet. You don't deserve to be a pilot. As an industry, we really miss a lot of opportunities by taking the macho pilot Superman, I learned to do it the hard way, so should you approach. So again, as an industry, I really do think we have to think about who the customer is. What kind of car did they drive in to get to the airport? What kind of services do they expect when they get their car fixed, or they get dinner at a restaurant, or when they're working on their house? You know, this is a an overused phrase, but this is a new economy. It's certainly not the same as it was in the 1970s, when we should all remember that we sold over an average of about 12,000 airplanes per year. 12,000 per year for the decade of the 70s. Well, what's changed? A lot of things have changed, but our airplanes have gotten better also. Our need for transportation has increased. We've got a compelling product, we the industry. We need to get out there and present it.
We'll be back with more from ANN's Jim Campbell and Cirrus Design's Alan Clapmeyer in just a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Platt. We're listening in on a conversation between ANN's Jim Campbell and Cirrus Design's Alan Clapmeyer about the future of general aviation. Perhaps embracing the future means finding new ways to allow the public to benefit from GA.
Do you think we have to look at new modalities in ownership? That for those who can't pony up for the small jet, for the technologically advanced single piston or turbine or whatever the case may be, does the new modality suggest that we're going to see a lot more partnerships or shared ownership?
Yes, absolutely. But if you take this again from the industry point of view, exactly what you just said is the right answer. But what, as an industry, we need to accept that the value statement, the benefits that we get out of owning and operating one airplane, lots of people would get if we can come up with that new mode for them. Air taxi. You like the idea of what that other guy gets out of an airplane? You can have the exact same benefits 1 hour at a time, air taxi. You want to own an airplane but can't afford the whole thing? Fractional ownership. Managed care, where somebody takes care of the airplane for you and makes sure it's pulled in and out of the hangar, fuel, and so on. Owning your own airplane, but having someone help you with the finance and insurance and maintenance, a lot of the things that we're trying to do and how we deliver our product, make it an easier purchase for people. All of these things are part of expanding that ownership base. Different ways of learning to fly, our access program, where the way I normally describe it is the goal is safe utility, meaning learn to use the airplane as an everyday feature in your life. The goal is not get your license. You have to get your license. That's just part of it. Continue on. Get your instrument rating. See different airports, different trips, different weather systems. Learn to get safe utility out of the airplane. So just what you said, we've got to be much more broad-minded as an industry about how we deliver those benefits that we as the privileged few, the pilots, Superman, those things that we've always appreciated. Let's figure out how to deliver that to a lot more people.
Okay. How then? And more important, why isn't everybody reaching this realization right now? You go to certain other segments of the industry, and their basic attitude is, well, this is the way we've always done it.
Yeah, it's disappointing when we see that. I think the attitude is certainly changing. A lot of the things that AOPA is doing is a great start. We need to change how we look at flight training. EAA with Young Eagles, how do we introduce people to aviation? Conversations that we've all had about being on the outside of the fence, back to your reference about TSA. It's a very, very broad spectrum that we need to address this problem. There is no silver bullet. it really is everybody. Now, the other way to look at this, and the way I'd like that your audience to think about this, is also it doesn't take very many negative experiences to cause broad problems. The one guy who goes out and does something really stupid scares a lot of people away from the industry. The one guy at a party who says, flying's too hard, you'll never be good enough to learn to fly, causes a lot of problems. The one guy who thinks that the first experience of taking somebody for a ride ought to make it a thrill ride, AOPA, the Air Safety Foundation, has got a great video on one of these
hypothetical
senses.
Yeah, that was a crack-up.
Yeah, wasn't that good? Causes problems, you know. So we really need to all work together and help educate ourselves while we're trying to educate the rest of the world.
I'll tell you, there's one other area, and this one's near and dear to my heart because, well, it's my bread and butter. But the media coverage of general aviation and personal aviation issues and light business aviation, or even all of business aviation for that matter, is abysmal. It's either fat cats and biz jets. It's people with more money than sense. It's the little general aviation airplane out to ram grandma's airliner. It's the constant security threat imposed by, you know, these vicious GA airplanes and all these other things combined, and totally missing what's going on out there with people going out and doing business. I mean, the really great stories, you know, the veterans airlift, the angel flights, the this and that, notwithstanding. But Joe's little chain of four hardware stores over two states and the business he does and the fact that he's home for dinner every night to read to his kids and to do what's necessary and to get out and about. And, frankly, after a hard day, maybe going out around the pattern a couple of times, clearing his air and impacting his life in positive ways.
Yep. We've got to tell that story better. Marketing should be about education, not marketing as a general term has some negative connotations to it where people think it means fooling people into buying something they didn't really want. I don't look at marketing that way. I think the role of marketing is about education. Help people understand how they would use a product, why they would use a product, the benefits of the product. And frankly, if it doesn't fit, go buy something else. You know, the last thing we want is unhappy customers. We've just recently been working on a program that we're calling Flying 2.0, back to the kind of future of general aviation sort of concept. And it clearly needs a lot of polishing. There are some parts of the first part of the presentation that I think we need to improve. But it's a good start, so we're going to go with what we've got and start getting it out there. We believe that there is, in fact, a new paradigm for aviation. It's what we've talked about for years and years and years, but we now need to be, we Cirrus and we the industry, much more proactive about developing it into specific tools and presenting those tools to people that can then spread the message. Rotary Club, business meetings, heck, I don't know, the local PTA. You can imagine one spouse is gone on a business trip and the other spouse is upset that you've missed the PTA meeting or the soccer game. They need to learn about having an airplane.
Amen to that. And there's, you know, there's so many venues. And to a certain extent, one of the things I think needs to be done, there's this wonderful term in the net called viral marketing,
yep.
i.e. what happens when one person somehow exposes another person. General aviation has to be its best cheerleader. It has to virally market every aspect of all things good, positive, worthwhile, and efficient about GA. And it needs to keep doing it in ever increasingly more aggressive ways.
Agree completely. Got to think about how we introduce it, how we educate people, spread the good word. And, of course, where we started earlier, which I think is an essential part of that message, it's not just for the people in the airplane. GA benefits everybody in society. Unless for some reason you are one of those seriously wacko environmentalists who think that the right answer is that we reduce the population of the world and reduce economic activity and we should all live in a mud hut in the side of the hill and see if we can catch grasshoppers for dinner. My suggestion for those people, and as you were saying some things that were fairly unkind earlier, so I will try and say this very kindly, is please reduce your emissions of carbon greenhouse gases. Hold your breath until you die.
Yeah, I hear you there.
No, obviously that's extreme case. But maybe we really do need to educate people about the really broad benefits to society. And as a very harsh lesson that people are hearing right now, whether it's layoffs or whatever, we've laid off a couple hundred people since September, and fortunately we were ahead of the curve on some of this. But this is unbelievably hard on those families, and unbelievably hard on those of us that are left behind, survivor's guilt, if you will. People need to remember that economic activity is good for everybody.
There is no such thing as trickle in one direction. It spreads out like radar.
Yep.
I hear you.
And it's all very, very interconnected.
Well, let me ask you this then. With all this having been said, let's sum all this up and put you on the hot seat. How does the future look for GA?
I am very optimistic about the future of GA. I wouldn't say that I'm extremely optimistic about the next 10 days, 90 days. Actually, I'm fairly optimistic when you get out 90 days, so I retract that. 10 days, 30 days. But particularly when, and forecasting is always difficult, when you look out in multiple years, I am convinced that general aviation has a very bright future. When you look at, and worldwide reach as well, we've had a lot of the benefits of general aviation for a very long time in North America. We haven't done a very good job of communicating it, but for those that have experienced those benefits, it's pretty powerful. We're just now, over the last few years, beginning to reach out to much more of the world. And as those economies expand and as those governments recognize the benefits of general aviation to the rest of their economies and therefore loosen some of the restrictions, I think it has a very bright future. Think about the reasons why people fly from a business point of view. Time management. So now think about congestion on the roads, increasing population. So congestions on the roads, congestions on the airline, all of these factors. General aviation just makes sense. An example that an analogy I sometimes use is you think about a busy city. When the city gets, the real estate is getting too cramped, what do? They build up. You don't see a lot of skyscrapers in wide open, empty places. You see it where there's congestion. That's what general aviation is. It's building up. You put the roads above the roads, put them in the air. So I think it's hard for me to imagine somebody making a rational case for a decline in general aviation, a rational case. And believe me, I've heard a lot of the cases, whether it's environmental reasons or cost reasons or security reasons. I don't think they hold up. I think that the case for the future of general aviation is very compelling. And I still believe in the rationality of human beings and that compelling wins the day in the long run.
Jim Campbell is ANN's editor-in-chief. Alan Klapmeyer is CEO and chairman of Cirrus Design. Find out more at www.cirrusdesign.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.